From WGVU Public Media, this is Powerful Women Let's Talk. Conversations with women making an impact in West Michigan. Stay connected to Powerful Women. Please like and subscribe.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Moss. Welcome to another special edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. We're happy to celebrate Women's History Month with a stellar lineup of fabulous powerful women in our community. Today, I'm talking with Teresa Anderson, Director of Production and Operations for Art Prize. Welcome, Teresa.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Welcome again. So to start, you have a very important job. Now, a lot of people may not necessarily know about it. It's somewhat behind the scenes, but you are very busy at work taking the Art Prize experience to the next level. For starters, you were behind David. That was that 35-foot tall marionette that rappelled down the side of the Amway Hotel in 2024. I was at that show. And I was completely blown away. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but that's just kind of our setup here. So I want you to tell us about your love for everything art, a bit of your background and how you landed at Art Prize.
So it's a bit of a cyclical story, actually. I have been an artist for as long as I can remember. I went to drama school to do stage management technology and set design, and fell into costume design. I worked in theater and film. And then joined Cirque du Soleil and ran away with the circus for a little while. I've been on different continents working in art, but I've always come back to the same thing, that creating is the most important thing to me. I probably entered Art Prize, even when I didn't live in Grand Rapids, a couple of times. I then came to Grand Rapids, fell in love with Grand Rapids, and my husband and I moved here because of Art Prize. And then 10 years later, I started working for Art Prize. So it really was kind of a full journey there.
That is a full circle.
Absolutely.
So you moved here because of Art Prize. So you actually were an artist that entered, because I know you love art. And
yes.
So you entered Art Prize.
Yes.
And let us say you're across the pond. That's where you hail from, right?
I do,
so you
yes.
come from London, right? Or I don't know if it's London specifically, but where?
All over. But the last place I was London. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was in Las Vegas at the time. Having just come off the road touring with Cirque du Soleil, and we had a relative here that said, you should come and check out this art competition. So we did. And because we were used to touring and moving around with work, and we just had a baby, we kind of needed somewhere new to live, and there was fabulous art and beer, so we moved here.
Two good things, right?
Absolutely. One for me and one for my husband.
And there you go. I love it. I love it. And so I just love the idea that it's full circle, that you literally entered and then now you're working there. So let's talk about your work at Art Prize. I want to start with the David piece. How did that come to be? We see a lot of great art each year, of course, but I think that was the first time that we really ever saw something like that of that magnitude. That was huge.
He was quite big, yes.
Yes, coming down the side of the Amway. So tell us about that. And because that, I would imagine, that's one of your powerful impacts here in the city is coming up with something like that, because that took Art Prize, in my opinion, to another level.
Thank you. I really, having spent some time with Art Prize, it was my first year, and the executive director had asked me to come in and use some of my creativity and my contacts and skills to really make an impact. And I really wanted to do it for the community. It was very much that Art Prize is a platform for artists, but I also was very aware that this huge event happens in and around where people live and work. And so I really wanted something that was a spectacle for anyone that could see it from anywhere. They didn't have to pay for it. They could just be a part of it and this huge kind of community experience. So I reached out to a bunch of people, and I am very lucky that I have friends from the circus and Vegas and all of those places. And I sent out some polite questions and asked, what's the biggest thing you have? And through a series of networking, I reached out to a company in Canada, and David had never been done in America. And so I thought, well, Grand Rapids is a great place for us to do that. It took 4 months to get all of the technical drawings, the rigging, the permits and approvals. The Amway was amazing. The team there were fabulous. It was really lovely to get engineers thinking like artists and artists thinking like engineers. We did design it from scratch, and it took 3 days to rig. And the first time we did it was the time it went up. And so little bit stressful, but
it was a big risk. Yeah. I mean, theoretically, a big risk, it but was. It surely paid off well.
It was fabulous. And the thing I loved so much about it, it was really rooted in the creativity of performance because there were no motors attached to that. It was all hand rigged.
That's amazing.
So every foot that moved, every hand that moved was being operated by puppeteers. So the fact that it was so grounded in artistic performance was something that really was just amazing to me.
I mean, and how did, again, did you like come up? I know you made your calls and you've got the contacts. We'll talk about that part in a minute as well. But like, we want to have something climb on the side of the Amway and it's going to be big and people are going to love this in Grand Rapids. I mean, how did that like come to thought? Like, how did you go from square one, you know, all the way through to developing that and coming up with something such as David? Why David? I guess if you're looking into the creative piece, what made you pick something such as that?
Because it was so visible. Because it was grounded in performance and it was something that really had to be on board with all the members of the community that were participating. We had amazing partners in different construction companies. All sorts of people helped us out. People got really excited about it. Also, I did just take a walk through the city when I first got here and started working downtown, just walking through the city and trying to see the city in different ways and different lights about how you can use different surfaces, how you can change things so that people's perception of them is something different. And it was a really big, shiny building and I had a really big, shiny puppet. So I was like, I think these two things should definitely go together. And again, it really did take a community. I might have the crazy idea, but these things you cannot do alone.
No, you cannot do them alone, but it takes that leadership and that eye to see that, you know what, this is something we should try. And that was a bold move. Good for you.
I'm not used to doing things small, so I tend
to... Well, you called, you said, what's the biggest thing you've got, right?
That absolutely.
Was, that was like your what you said.
Yes, 100%. I think you get one go at this. You get one go at life, and opportunities are there for a reason. And if we don't try, and it really did. It worked, and people were excited about it. I had people texting me and calling me that they were inside the restaurant that night, and that this giant face came up at the window. They had no idea. It was like King Kong.
And they're like, what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I also think the most wonderful thing about, as much as the spectacle of it going up the building was fabulous with the lights and all that, I think the children being able to play with it was probably my favorite part of the whole thing, because that engagement and that creativity that was starting at ground level, and you just could go and see what would happen, and the excitement every day for 14 days was just phenomenal to me. And that was really special. I love working with kids and art anyway, so to have them have that opportunity was fabulous.
As they say, go big or go home, right? I mean, you did that. And so last year, though, equally exciting,
Arborealis.
Arborealis.
That's the one.
Yes, indeed.
I didn't name it, just so you know.
Arborealis. I had said it prior. We talked about it, and then it just wasn't coming out, but Arborealis. So for those that didn't see that, tell us about that one.
And that was an inflated sculptural structure that came from the UK, which you could go inside. It was 3 stories tall. It was enormous, and it was completely lit by the sun. There was no power inside it other than the blowers that kind of kept it inflated. But it was a kind of full body experience. We had yoga in there and sound baths. The symphony came and played in there. I had this idea of this kind of full experience where you get submersed in color and light and art. So there were some opera singers that came through just to really kind of bring this whole space to life. And it was fabulous. I loved it. It was just a giant, colorful explosion of wonderfulness. It was just fabulous.
The artist within you just continues in each of these things, doesn't it?
I just, to have the support of the city to be able to go, I have this really crazy idea. And to have the support of the city to help us say, absolutely, let's see what we can do to make this work, is also incredibly just humbling, really, just to be able to have that experience with those people. And everyone in Grand Rapids wants to create this amazing event. So it kind of makes my job a little easier, really, when everybody wants to see something so fabulous.
Indeed. And so, you know, we talked about, you know, you reaching out to some of your contacts. So this, while... David, Borealis, totally new endeavors within your art world and vision. It's not a new thing because, as you mentioned, you worked for Cirque du Soleil, you worked for Walt Disney. Tell me a little bit about the backdrop there. So some of that, the ideas, I would imagine, kind of spawned from some of the work that you had to have done with them and in those agencies.
Absolutely. When you're living and breathing in a space with so many creative people for so long, it's really hard not to get kind of swept up in that. So I worked for Cirque du Soleil for 4 years. I toured America, Asia. It's like a giant family. You are surrounded by it all day, every day. You all eat together. You travel together. I married the sound engineer. that was not in the plan, by the way. I was anticipating doing Cirque du Soleil for 1 year just to get out of London and see something new. I was younger, and it was just the most amazing experience to be able to take that kind of level of creativity and performance around the world. I was just incredibly privileged to do that, and it really has been a lens that I've kind of tried to make most of the things that I try and achieve to be that level of quality. The quality, I think, is the biggest thing for me, is that that level of world-class entertainment is something mm-hmm. that I don't think will ever leave me. So we always have to strive for the biggest and the best if we can possibly do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That had to be an amazing opportunity.
It was. It takes a lot from you and gives a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to give 110%, you will miss birthdays and Christmases and weddings because you're not at home. You don't have a house. You're kind of traveling. I moved every 6 weeks for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So there's a side of it that is intense, but it gives you a mettle and it makes you confident in a way that you wouldn't have had before. It was the same as when I worked for Disney. I was the head of the puppets department on the ship. And it was very early on in my career, and I kind of put myself in that role because mm-hmm. if you can't fix it on your own in the middle of the ocean, there's no one to fix it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to learn confidence and you want to learn that you're good at your skills and your trade, that's what you do. You put yourself into a situation where you're like, well, I got to step up and fix the thing, otherwise the show won't go on.
Absolutely.
So that was a really hard 7 months. That was a lot of learning for me, but I do think it was something that really grounded me in how I wanted to push my career forward and the kind of standards that I wanted to get to.
And the good news about going back to Cirque du Soleil for a moment, you met the love of your life during that.
Even
though you moved every 6 weeks. I mean, I can see that
surprise.
That's a fun thing. That's
yeah,
a fun
I was
fact.
Supposed to be there for a year, and then it turned into 3 years, and then we decided to get married, and we got married in Japan. And so
aww.
It's all been incredibly adventurous. And if you'd have said to me when I began my career that I would end up in Michigan, I probably may have asked you where Michigan was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's quite far from where I started, but it's just been the most amazing adventure. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things about getting to do this, is if you can say yes to the things, you just don't know where you're going to end up.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love that for you as well. So, and I also heard, a little birdie told me that you actually had the opportunity to work on one of the Batman costumes.
And
so
I did.
For us Batman fans, who
yes.
was it and what did you do?
I worked on Batman Begins with Christian Bale, and I worked in the bat suit fabrication shop. So I was the one that was in the team of people that were making the bat suits.
Oh, wow. Wow. That had to be an experience as well.
That was fabulous. Yes. Mm. Entirely secretive. Wasn't allowed to tell anyone at the time because it was a new thing. Had to sign lots of NDAs at the time.
Wow.
Couldn't tell my
wow.
roommate. Was traveling a lot because it was out at the film studios in London. So it was incredibly long days. But I think it set me up again for what came next.
Yes.
Because when you can have something like that on your resume, then the next job will always come. So
I think you've had a lot of momentous stepping stones.
Yes. Again, from
each
saying
one,
yes.
yeah. Each one leading into something greater so that you can do some of the things that you're currently participating
Absolutely.
In. Would you say?
Yes. And it really is having the trust in the people around you and the trust in yourself to do it. So, for example, with Batman, I didn't know I was working on Batman. They can't tell you there was a code name. It was called something else. They call you and they say, we have this project. Would you like to come and work on? And so I had no idea until I got there that that's what it was. Wow. So it's just really been a fabulous adventure. I feel very lucky to have done the things and seen the places. And it's just, I guess, it kind of shapes who you are in the end.
Absolutely.
Which is crazy creative.
Well, I love that about you. And so you've got quite the accomplishments here in the art world, which is powerful, of course, written all over it. But at the heart of all of this, and you mentioned it just a little bit earlier, but I want to delve in a little bit. Your love is to teach children art. That's one of your loves. I know you did that. You had a tea shop at one point and you taught the classes there,
did,
if
yes.
I'm correct, right? And you've helped a lot of children develop or embrace art in different manners. Tell me about some of your teaching styles and exposing art to children and so that they grow to love it or take something, you know, and use a style that might be something, a famous cartoon character or something like that.
Children and adults alike, when you're teaching, everyone seems to be incredibly apprehensive about learning art because they don't know how to do it, or they don't know if this is the right way to hold this or how to mix this paint.
At what a certain if I mess point, up?
Yeah, absolutely. What if I mess up? And younger children, it's fabulous because they are not as reserved as that. They come in and they have fun and they can play. But at a certain point, it really is a self-conscious thing. And I love breaking down that wall. So having a conversation about a piece of artwork, asking someone if they think it's art, and they go, well, no, it's just a black line on a piece of paper. And then we'll have a conversation about it for 5 minutes. And then we can say, but we talked about it. It sparked a conversation. So just because you like it or you don't like it doesn't really matter. It is invoking an emotion in you. And that's what art is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So now pick up a brush and have a go with a brush and paint something that resonates with you. And then we'll talk about why you don't think or why you do think that that is an artistic expression. And just being able to break down that barrier of getting people to freely create without having any kind of restrictions on what that looks like for them is super important, because that's the foundation of loving art, right? You can go mm-hmm. to an art gallery, you don't have to love everything in it, but if it makes you feel something, it's done its job. So I think that's probably where I teach from.
Absolutely, from that space.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you go to an art museum and you just stand and stare at one piece. You can literally see different things standing there for 10 minutes mm-hmm. or more.
Absolutely.
depending on the piece.
I'm terrible to go with. I get emotional. And so I've got to go with certain people who understand that I might cry.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. Now, you also give back to the community as it relates to art and children. Don't you? You give some kits, art kits. You create art kits for children in hospitals. Tell me about that.
I did at one point. Yeah, when we had the tea shop, we did children's summer camps where we had the children come in and do the summer camp. And at the end of that, I produced a book that the parents and the grandparents and anyone else could purchase. And all of the money that came from those books ended up being put into a giant pot, and then we went and bought all these art kits and art supplies and took it down to the hospital so that the children at Christmas had extra art supplies. So that was incredibly fun to do, to turn up with a giant car full of things.
Absolutely. Well, you're not only doing art, but you're giving the opportunity for art and for those who need it and might brighten their day as well. So Teresa, as we celebrate Women's History Month, what would you say is important about, you know, making sure that we honor the varied work that women do in our community, many making history every day, like yourself? I mean, you're making history doing some of the work that you're doing with Art Prize, things that have never been done. But as we celebrate Women's History Month, how important is it to make sure that we do lift up and honor women in our community?
It's 100% behind everything you should do. I mean, I work with the most incredible group of women who we lift each other up every day. And I think that's having that network and that community of women looking out for each other is hugely important. And then we have our interns that come through, and we're kind of nurturing the interns and making sure that they're on the right path. I think it's about the community we can create together and lifting each other up, because that's how we're all going to succeed. So I think it's incredible. I love the women I work with. They're all so incredibly powerful. All of them.
I love that. And I want to thank you so much, Teresa, for taking time and joining us today to share your story with us for this special Women's History Month edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. And certainly we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. I'm Jennifer Moss, and this is Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Powerful Women Let's Talk is a production of WGVU Public Media. Episodes available at wgvunews.org and on Apple and Spotify. Please like and subscribe.